Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I can't tell you how excited I am to welcome back Whitney Elkins Hutton to the show. Whitney, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, Whitney is with PassiveInvesting.com and has a ton of experience in real estate syndications. And we've gone over her whole story in her first episode with us, which you can go and check out. Today, Whitney, I know I'm excited to dive into a different, maybe a more unique asset class than the ones that we are usually used to exploring. And so today we're going to talk about car washes because I know that's something that you're currently investing in. So give us a little background as to, you know, why you're into car washes right now.
Yeah, definitely. So we actually started looking at car washes, you know, a way to help our investors diversify their portfolios about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. Like, so really at the start of the pandemic, and maybe a tad bit before. And, you know, at passiveinvesting.com, we're exactly what the name says, is that we're actually helping our investors diversify, you know, their passive income over multiple different types of streams. But we wanted to keep most of those streams backed by hard assets like real estate. And so, you know, most people think of car washes, they're thinking, at least I know whenever I first started, we're going to do car washes. And my mind went to like the one where you have to like stick the quarters in, you get the brush and you scrub everything down. I'm like, really? Car washes? But the more that we, you know, and then, you know, the next thing, you know, I leapt to was like, oh, the type of car wash where it's like attached to a gas station.
Yeah.
We are focused on the express tunnel car wash. So, you know, think of it as like business-driven real estate. So, you know, we're looking at express tunnels that are 100 feet, you know, 60 to 100 feet long. We can move multiple cars through there, you know, in a span of like, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And what this type of business actually lends itself to is a, you know, a subscription model. And so there's so many different assets we can dive down, but, you know, right now car washes are an environment that are ripe for disruption. Majority of the car washes are actually owned by mom and pop investors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no, you know, large institutional player in the space for a big key reason. And it's because there's no management, right? You can go out and buy a multifamily building and there's a management company that will manage that for you, or a self-storage building, you can place it with management. But you're not seeing these big institutional buyers going out and buying car washes because who are they going to place it with for management? They're not in the management game. Mm-hmm. And so that is something, one, we're excited about the business. We're excited about owning the real estate under the business to help control the cost and have an added layer of value to the deal. But also we're building our own vertically integrated management company and looking to scale this side of the portfolio to about 100 to 150 units.
Okay.
So, which is super exciting.
Yeah. Very interesting. I know. And there's a lot in what you just said. So one of the things I just want to circle back on is the idea that this particular industry is ripe for disruption. And, you know, for those of you who've been listening to the show for a while, you will probably heard us talk about this in the self-storage space and in the RV space, that there are, you know, these are industries where they have a lot of mom and pop ownership, and more they're getting taken over by, I mean, that's an opportunity for people like us to add a lot of value and purchase those assets from mom and pops and bring them up to a higher quality management. So it sounds like car washes, you know, and this is the first time I'm talking to anybody about car washes, although it is one of those kind of classic, you know, when you think about passive income businesses, it is still one of the first ones that comes to mind, along with like laundromats and,
right?
Yeah. And so I'm interested to hear about the management piece. And like, so it seems to me that there's no car wash
managers. Is that right? And so how does management of these facilities typically work?
Yeah, well, you know, right now with majority of the, you know, properties being owned by mom and pop owners, they are managing their own property, or maybe they have like one person that oversees like two or three different units within a, you know, consolidated area. Now, one of the things that they are relying very heavily on is their distributors for the different chemicals they use to help them figure out, you know, how fast should the tunnel move? What type of chemicals should we use? How much, how often? And, you know, you think of it this way, that's great. You know, you're glad to have a partner, but it's kind of counterintuitive for them to be, you know, telling them, like, hey, use, you know, fewer chemicals, right? Because they're kind of cutting their own business profit line. And so what we're able to do is consolidate the management of these companies on a regional level and a local level. And so that allows us to bulk purchase a lot of chemicals. It also allows us to work more straightforward with the different distributors of these chemicals for the tunnel line, because, you know, they're selling in bulk, right? It's good business for them. He who helps us succeed, we all win together, right? So that is just, you know, naturally it allows us to be able to scale the business. Also, when we're consolidating, we're buying, you know, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 7 properties in small portfolios. We're able to consolidate the full-time employee expenses on the property. And so we're really looking for those operational efficiencies, much like we do on our self-storage, to be able to run these at a higher level, both at the local level and then also the regional level.
Okay. Very interesting. So when you're buying properties, are you going to build out this tunnel system?
Well, there's several different flavors of, you know, business plans that we can kind of select from. You know, okay. We might purchase an asset that is, you know, turnkey, ready to go. So we're rebranding, adding some operational efficiencies in, but essentially we're ready to go. You know, another asset, we might need to expand the tunnel, add some additional amenities on the properties, maybe additional vacuums or pet washing stations. I'm a dog owner. So that is something I'm like, how genius. Clean your car and clean your pet. Now you got a clean pet in your car. Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. And I want to get into the cost, what it costs to run these tunnels here in a second. And then we also will take some opportunities here in the near future to buy the land and do some raw development. So we're going to have all different, you know, business plan exposure within the entire portfolio.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the cost, what I'm super excited about, you know, most people will, or, you know, our lowest subscription is going to be about $30 monthly charge. When you look at the margins on this, it only costs about 80 cents to a dollar to wash a car.
Okay.
So there's a healthy margin there for us to, one, respond to inflation, right? Mm-hmm. But two, also be nimble in the market environment to whatever might be thrown our way over the next few years.
Yeah, that's an awesome margin for sure. And so are the only people that are going to be able to get their cars washed at the facilities, people with subscriptions?
Yeah. I mean, each facility, we're going to rebrand it to our particular brand. And so we'll put in subscriptions. I would imagine there's going to be some sort of ad hoc pricing as well.
Okay.
However, I know for me, like when I go wash my car ad hoc, it's $17, whereas the subscription's $30. So
yeah,
it's more expensive if I need to go that month. Now, I mean, I think a natural question for somebody, an investor like this is like, okay, well, if it's $30 and it costs $1 per wash, you know, that means they have to wash their cars 30 times before we start losing money. And the average person only washes their car 1.8 times a month that has a subscription.
Okay. I see. Interesting. So yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of my other question that's come to mind is like, do people really wash their cars that often that they would prefer a subscription over just paying for a one-off?
You know, once the behavior is built, you know, research has, you know, demonstrated this over the past, you know, 10 to 14 years. Once the behavior is built to wash the car, people actually do maintain their car on a pretty regular basis, whether it's monthly, bi-monthly. And even like, you know, kind of a natural question is if we're going into a recessionary environment, you know, research tells us that that actually is not the case. People actually take better care of their cars because it's harder for them to replace that asset. So why not maintain it right now? You know, of course, when you look at the family expenses, a $30, you know, subscription car wash to maintain probably the, you know, their method of transportation to and from the job, getting the kids to and from soccer practice, you know, that is probably far more worthwhile than, you know, maybe they'll switch where they live or, you know, some other things, you know, cut other expenses that are a little bit more impactful to the family budget.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting. Okay. So tell me a little bit, Whitney, about why this pivot towards car washes. Is it that margins are getting too tight in multifamily, or, you know, what's the story there?
It's not a pivot. It's an additional stream.
Okay.
Right? So when we, you know, like I said, like our entire business model is to help, you know, an investor create multiple streams of income. And, you know, there is risk if you're all in on multifamily or all in our self-storage. You know, we want to be diversified over multiple real estate asset classes or multiple asset classes. For me, I'm all in on real estate. So I want to have, but I want to have exposure to non-correlated real estate classes, uncorrelated real estate classes, in order to kind of like hedge my bets.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that makes a lot of sense to just diversify amongst asset classes. And just to still, I love the fact that there's still obviously a strong cash flow play, a strong, you know, it, there's an underlying asset, which is the property and also the car wash itself. And, you know, the ability to have dynamic pricing. We are in an inflationary environment. And then the fact that people are apparently taking better care of their cars in a recessionary environment, which we might be heading into. I like definitely all those things. What kinds of returns? I mean, I don't know what you can say about that, but like, is this a higher, are these types of deals from an investor perspective, are they higher on cash flow, higher on appreciation? Do you plan to hold them forever or, you know, sell at some point? What does that look like?
Lots of questions to unpack there. Yeah. So this particular investment is appropriate for an accredited investor. And so when we talk about that, you know, currently our preferred return we're offering is a 10% preferred return, you know, a 60-40 split to 20% IRR, and then 40-60 up to 30% IRR, and then participation at 10% above 30. So, I mean, we're looking at some, you know, underwriting of some very strong IRRs here. Now, as far as a hold, we're looking at a 5+ year hold. And now I know a lot of people are like, why? We're selling at 5 years, right? Well, we're looking to do a couple different things upon the exit. One, grow the portfolio to about 100 to 150 units. And it gives us the flexibility to either do an IPO, which is very interesting. There's only one other car wash organization out there that has IPO'd, or exit to a REIT or, you know, insurance company, bank, something like that. So it gives us a lot of flexibility. Also, you know, we're buying majority like in the southeastern part of the United States, you know, very regional. And when we do this, you know, kind of the third exit that we could possibly have is like break apart parts of the portfolio and sell, you know, 10 here, 10 there, right, to other groups. But yeah. We got our eyes on the prize for that IPO or large rollup.
That's very interesting, for sure. I definitely haven't heard that before. So always like to hear, you know, what the next, you know, what the new trends are. Yeah. So,
well, then certainly our investors are going to participate, you know, either way, if we do the IPO or the roll-up exit.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And then I want to hear also more about the market. It sounds like you're focusing in on the Southeast. Can you tell us a little bit about why you're deciding to focus there? And, you know, is it like primary, tertiary, secondary markets that you're looking at?
Yeah, we're looking at primary and secondary markets, you know, very close to large MSAs. We're looking for, you know, one of the things in this type of business is kind of similar to self-storage. You need a lot of traffic going by. You need a lot of cars and you need very good access, right? It doesn't help you to be like on a good street corner, but you're on the wrong part of the street corner, right? Like no access. So that's extremely important whenever it comes to properties we're going to buy. Why the southeastern part of the United States? That's where we're located. We're located in South Carolina. And, you know, as we build out the management company, you know, we wanted to keep the initial parts of the portfolio very close to us so we could, you know, build this, you know, we have all hands on deck, you know, eyes on the properties, our management right there. And then, you know, as we expand, we can grow that management company regionally outward.
Okay, very cool. And in terms of the 100 to 150? Is there a reason you're kind of targeting that number of properties?
You know, that, you know, seems to be where it's going to be a good exit to IPO or to a roll up to a REIT.
Okay.
Right? We're closing on the 9th asset in the entire business plan, I should say, here in a few days. We'll have 14 by the end of June, I believe. And, you know, these assets aren't your $100 million multifamily buildings. They're smaller assets. And so, you know, you're not going to just get like 50 of them. Like, you're going to want to stack them up a lot larger than that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Very interesting. And so when you think about car washes as being like an additional stream of income, you know, maybe in parallel to multifamily and self-storage and some other asset classes, real estate, et cetera, where do you think the car wash falls in terms of its sort of strengths compared to other asset classes?
Yeah. So for me, the way I kind of look at my investing portfolio, I'm looking for assets that have capital preservation to them, assets that cash flow, some element of appreciation to them. Hopefully, if I can pull all three net operating income levers, I will, and then tax benefits. And so, you know, when we look, you know, on those four parameters, some inflation hedge. Can you pass along expenses and cost increases to the customer? Can you also use leverage? Okay, we can check the two bonuses, the inflation hedge, as well as use of leverage. But when we get into the four core pillars here, that's why we're buying the real estate under the underlying real estate for the assets, because we want to have that capital preservation. The land's not going to go to zero. And also, we don't want to be subject to buying a business and then all of a sudden, like, you've got a lease that you've got to negotiate here, right? Or like they said, oh, we're going to sell the land and now we're demolishing the car wash. You know, we want to have full control over that. So we got element of capital preservation. Cash flow. We already talked about the strong cash flows related to the business. Operational expenditures. Now, how does it stack up? If the operational expenditures are going to be somewhere in between self-storage and multifamily. Multifamily having the highest OPEX, self-storage having generally the lower OPEX. So we're going to be just a hedge above that self-storage piece on OPEX. Cash flows, we're going to be higher than both self-storage and for multifamily. Then equity piece, that's where we're kind of, you know, pretty moderate right now. We're banking on the business. So we're looking for a multiple of the expected gross income of the asset in order to exit well. How does that translate for multifamily and self-storage? That's based on net operating income. Pretty similar on how it's calculated. It's just this now, because we're talking about a business, not just commercial real estate. The terminology changes, right? We're going to confuse everybody. EGI. Yeah. So we're looking for a multiple of exited EGI, but the levers we're pulling are still the same. We're looking to move the rent, in this case, the subscription, to market pricing. Okay. That hasn't been done with the majority of these car washes. A lot of them don't actually have subscription models on them. Mm-hmm. Two, we're going to look to create operational efficiencies with the expenses. And we already talked about our management company and how we're doing that locally. And then three, we're looking to add additional streams of income, right? And that is, you know, with added packages, maybe even a pet package on some of these properties. But again, you know, there's going to be multiple tiers of the subscription model. Mm-hmm. So very strong ability to affect that appreciation value with the EGI. And then tax benefits. That is going to be, again, pretty modest when compared to multifamily real estate and self-storage real estate. So I think tax benefit-wise, multifamily yields some of the higher losses because it's a 27 and a half year depreciation schedule. Okay. We've got 100% bonus depreciation right now through the remainder of 2022. You know, we've got multiple ways we can, you know, accelerate that bonus depreciation or accelerate depreciation, right? Because we're depreciating fixtures and all that. Self-storage is going to be pretty much pulled down on the lower end because you're buying a garage, right? Concrete floor, four metal walls. That's why it's, you know, the OPEX is so low on this. You know, but the business, the car wash business, we're going to be somewhere towards that lower end, probably closer to maybe a tick higher on the losses than the self-storage piece. Here, we're not on a commercial or residential depreciation schedule. We're looking at depreciating the assets of the business. Mm-hmm. So the building, the tunnels, all that sort of thing. So it's a little bit different type of depreciation.
Okay. Interesting. And thanks for going over all that. Just another question that kind of comes to mind is, how did you do your research on the car wash industry? Like, where do you get the confidence that the, you know, numbers are going to, obviously with multifamily, we look at rent comps. What's the process like in car wash due diligence?
Yeah. So we actually hired industry experts for the past couple of years, and we brought them on board in-house to, you know, sit down with our acquisitions team and run all those numbers, not only on the markets, but on, like, you know, how do you acquire the business? What does a good business model look like? What are the operational expenditures that we need to consider here? And again, that's another reason why we decided to build our own internal management team, because we wanted to have such tight control over that and bring those experts onto our team. Cameron Broom, he was on a webinar that I did back in March over car washes. And I mean, he just, you know, he's the kind of Six Sigma black belt. I don't think he is a Sigma black belt, but, you know, he blows your mind like he is one. But, you know, that type of, like, you know, operational, you know, genius. And so not only do we have the experts who have been in the car wash space, but also the operational genius that to kind of pair those two together. And we feel very confident, not only in the acquisitions piece, but also the operational piece and the exit.
Very cool. Well, it's a definitely, you know, I mean, as somebody who's always looking for those that, you know, what the next space is, I mean, obviously real estate is always a great play, but it's just very interesting to hear about these, this new industry, this new asset class that is ripe for disruption, as we discussed. So lots of great stuff there. Well, thank you so much, Whitney, for sharing a bit about that. Will you please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and maybe learn about this deal if they're interested, and anything else you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're listening, you can connect with me at passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. There you'll get, you know, a quick little form. You'll get access to my calendar. We can jump on a call, talk about real estate, always fun, what open deals that we might have. And then, yeah, we can just take the conversation from there.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I hope you all reach out to Whitney if you're interested. Thank you so much, Whitney, for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.